This is Scott Becker with the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. I am thrilled today to be joined by Dr. Joanna Vidal-Filon. Dr. Filon is a pediatrician. She practices at the Hamilton Medical Center. She's also a senior medical director at the UPMC Insurance Division, University of Pittsburgh Medical Center, one of the great systems in the country. Dr. Vidal-Filon, great to have you on today. Please take a moment and introduce yourself, and we'll ask you a number of questions, and just enjoy yourself.
Thank you. Well, good morning. My name is Joanna Vidal-Filon, and Mr. Scott, you just described me as a general pediatrician. I've been a general pediatrician for almost 20 years. I'm originally born and raised in Puerto Rico, and definitely very proud to be able to provide clinical pediatric feedback, both my job as a clinician at Hamilton Health Center, which is a FQAC in Pennsylvania, and also a senior medical director for UPMC.
And talk for a moment about your career, your journey, coming from Puerto Rico to Pennsylvania. Tell us a little bit about your background and how you and your career journey.
Well, thank you. Interesting. I left Puerto Rico when I was young and started my college career in the Boston area. Went to medical school in New Jersey and did my internship and medical residency in pediatrics at Seattle Children's. So I've been around a couple of states throughout my career, basically, leading the next educational opportunity and training opportunity, and returned back to the New Jersey, Philadelphia area for over a decade to practice medicine and continue my training, not only as a clinician, but went back to school to get an MBA. And that brought me to Pennsylvania. It was that MBA training and my first job transition from a purely clinical role to also health insurance industry leadership position that led me to the beautiful state of Pennsylvania.
Well, fantastic. And where in Boston did you go to school?
Wellesley College.
Wellesley, so magnificent school. The marathon runs through Wellesley, and Hillary Clinton's one of your more famous alumni, right?
That is correct.
There you go. Oh, fascinating. So did you love Wellesley? Did you love it? I mean, what a fascinating change from Puerto Rico to go to Wellesley.
That is correct. And I have to tell you, the weather was that was the biggest impact. I mean, I literally left Puerto Rico when I was 17, got in a plane, left my island in 100-degree weather and experienced my first fall and saw my first snowfall when I was at Wellesley. I really treasure my years at Wellesley. It was an opportunity to learn how to stand on my own two feet. I was away from my family, but I was really focused and devoted in going to medical school. And so I was pre-med student, as many, people you may have interviewing in the past, pre-med is hard. It's a lot of work. And when I went to Wellesley, my English was very limited. And so not only do I have to over the barriers of learning in a different language, but also I was one of very few minorities that were in the pre-med program. So, overcoming challenges is something that has been part of my entire career. But Wellesley gave me a very strong foundation from college to medical school, and I'm very grateful for the many of the challenges, but great opportunities I had when I was a student at Wellesley.
When you came to Wellesley, I imagine when you first get there, it's a little anxiety provoking. You're a new student, really in a new area. I mean, it's the same country, but a new area and new everything. And you're one of the few minority students. How long did it take you to sort of feel at home, to feel, oh, I'm comfortable here. I don't feel anxious. I don't feel lost. I feel at home. How long was that transition?
It's hard to say. I could say that I feel like home. I definitely felt that, number one, I had a duty. So many people were counting on me to do a good job. But also, I know it was a privilege to be able to go to Wellesley. And having access to an academic experience and research opportunities at Wellesley. While I was at Wellesley, I also was able to do research for 3 years at MIT in their biology lab. And so as a student from Puerto Rico, understanding the amazing opportunities that were in front of me was something that I was so humble and so blessed with. So I came and approached Wellesley as, you know, this is hard. You know, you are different. There are many, many challenges, but you know, you can overcome. You have to be an example to your peers in the island, and you have to, you know, achieve your dreams. And for me, my dream since I walked my first day at Wellesley was I wanted to be a pediatrician. I knew that since I was 13. And so I knew that I had to put a lot of work and effort and overcome many barriers in order to be accepted into medical school.
What a magnificent, inspiring journey and story and career. Take a moment and talk about three pieces of advice that you would give to a fellow leader or to an emerging leader.
Yeah, those are great questions. Number one, one thing that has been very helpful to me is to always have an open mind. My point of view of life or things are very unique to me, but I definitely always eager to seek how other people see the world and learn from their experience. So I think number one, I will say be open-minded. You know, people are going to be different from you, have different backgrounds, upbringings, religion, language. I mean, there's so many things that make us so unique and different. And I approach that as being beautiful, as being amazing. And I always, one of the best things for going to college in the United States was getting the ability to meet people from all over the world. You know, I have friends, my roommate was from Japan. I have friends from India. I have friends from China. And so learning from other cultures and other points of view really open up your mind. And it's definitely exposing yourself to that will help you be a better leader. So that's my top one. I think number two is always seek diversity and inclusion. And I know that's a quote hot trend now, but I definitely something that's been part of my life since I started university in the 1990s. And the reason why that is important is because by having increased diversity and inclusion in healthcare, you're going to deliver amazing care to patients that are different. And we really want to be sure in healthcare that we are mentoring and that we are doing actively things to promote diversity and inclusion. Not only say it, but actively do something to make a difference in healthcare. And my dream will be between now and retiring is that the number of African-American minorities, Hispanic nurses, physicians in the healthcare industry continue to increase to meet the needs of our changing demographic in the United States. And I think the third advice would be to take care of yourself. I love to give. I love to be engaged with my families and go the extra mile. But I do also learn that through my career that if I don't take care of myself first as a leader, I cannot be the best leader I can for my team and for my organization. So that's my three top advice.
Well, you are magnificent to listen to and to hear your thoughts and perspectives. And in this concept of both making sure you take care of yourself, plus diversity and inclusion, plus an open mind, and really being open to other viewpoints, just magnificent. And talk a bit about now, you're a practicing pediatrician. You also work closely as a leader at UPMC. Talk about your top priorities this coming year. What do you see as your big priorities this coming year?
One of the top priorities this year has been for me focus on pediatrics. I think in the healthcare industry, there is so much information and so many programs focused on the adult population. And UPMC, and the reason why I'm at UPMC is because they're so committed to maternity care and to infant care and to child care. And so bringing pediatrics into the focus of the healthcare discussions from value-based care, population health, how to design programs that are going to be impactful not only from a cost standpoint, but quality. How can we improve access of care, not only to children and mothers, but also to different populations? Again, how do we meet our cultural demands of our membership and our patients? How do we access services in different languages and different modalities? So the traditional face-to-face encounter has evolved into a telemedicine platform. One of my concerns has been that as telemedicine adoption has continued to increase as a result of COVID-19, that has not been the same experience for African American and Hispanic families. So what are the barriers that are leading to our different cultural membership and patients not to use those services? Is it access? Is it wireless services? We need to be conscientious of that as part of the healthcare industry. And so I'm thinking about health disparities. I'm thinking about the importance of access of cares and of good quality care for our mothers and our children.
Well, just fantastic. And if you were to motivate younger people to become involved, become physicians, what would your message be to them? What would you tell younger people about being a physician?
One of my favorite things to do is mentorship. And definitely these conversations I have periodically, very frequently, with the next generation of doctors, I mean, the next generation of students. Even with my own patients, I work at an FQAC, and I see so many African-American, Hispanic, and Nepalese families. And I think having a positive attitude and an encouraging word since early on in their life is so impactful in children. So when you talk to children in your office and in your practice, it's really important you tell them, I believe in you. What is your dream? And then be sure that you encourage them. And so for any of my little patients that tell me they want to be a doctor, I want to be sure that I emphasize to them that they can do it, that if they have questions, they can reach out to me. I also want to make myself always available to people that want to shadow or want to learn more about what it's like to have a career in primary care. But I think a positive time investment in this youth is really important. I know it's great to be real of the challenges, but also how to overcome them and how to positively encourage others to pursue their dreams in medicine is really important. But I believe in mentorship. I am a result of excellent mentorship through my entire career. My mentors were so impactful to me, and I wouldn't be here today without them. And that's exactly what I'm doing for the next generation of students that are going to become doctors, and they're going to take over when I retire.
Thank you. I'm going to ask you one final question. You've got this remarkable drive and focus together with remarkable personal skills. Where does that drive and focus come from? Was that hardwired into you? Were you always like that? Were you one of these kids that, you know, first grade did all their homework and was ahead of the game? Where did this drive, which is a great thing, I don't mean that pejoratively, but where did that drive and motivation come to for your greatness?
Well, thank you for saying that, and I'm humbled, you know, to hear those words. I have to be honest, this was instilled in me by my father. My father is an immigrant from Cuba, and he left Cuba when he was 13 years of age because of the communist government of Fidel Castro. My father left Cuba overnight without his father or his mother through a program called Operation Peter Pan. He arrived in Florida, and he was in orphanage until a family member was able to get him out, and he was able to continue his education. But he also came from a Spanish-speaking country, came to the United States with nothing, and he instilled in me the drive to do well, not only for yourself or for your family, but for others. He instilled in me the values of hard work, of honesty, of doing everything right for others and for community engagement and involvement. My father has been a community leader in Puerto Rico for many years and very hardworking ethics. And definitely I inherit that from him. So when I came from Puerto Rico and started at Wellesley, I knew I had to do well, not only for my family, but also for my island, for my community. And I had never looked back.
Well, just magnificent, Doctor. What a pleasure to talk to you today, Jonna. Just fantastic. Inspiring, fantastic. I know our producer is on the line as well. You've probably inspired the both of us tremendously. So fantastic to visit with you. And we'll get this published shortly. And what a great pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. I really appreciate the opportunity to be in your podcast. And definitely, I appreciate your inclusion of people that are different and that have different backgrounds as part of your podcast. So thank you so much.